Hello, Buzzkillers, and welcome to the first of our Monday myths to start the week, something new we're doing this year, and we hope you love it. Imagine that you'd help build the largest and most sophisticated information gathering agency in the history of the United States, turned it into the premier law enforcement agency in the country, and spied on, wiretapped, and compiled files on radicals and civil rights leaders from the 1930s through the 1960s. Imagine if you had enough dirt on politicians and assorted officials that you could threaten the most severe retaliation if any of them ever discovered your own personal secrets. Then imagine that one of the most scandalous, salacious, and sexually charged pieces of secret information stared back at you in the mirror every evening, dressed in drag. What if you risked personal scandal and professional ruin every time you indulged in your secret cross-dressing passion? If so, you'd be the subject of one of the most frequently repeated and widely accepted myths in modern American history, that FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover was a crossdresser. It's almost too good and certainly too much fun not to believe. Gossip doesn't get much better than this. The problem is, it's nothing more than gossip, and it's as unlikely and untrue as almost any gossip could be. Now, before I launch into the Hoover cross-dressing story, let me tell you that this show is brought to you by that fantastic pair of Patreon supporters of the Buzzkill Institute. I'm talking about Lord and Lady Penhaligon, who live in Baden-Württemberg in Germany. They've been very generous in their support of the show in terms of cold, hard cash, but also as emotional support Buzzkiller for yours truly. I'll tell you more about how to support the show later on. Hoover and cross-dressing was the subject of our very, very first show years ago when we had a different format, but I wanted to do a better show on the subject, and there's no better time to do this because of the great historical work that's recently been done on Hoover and the politics slash oppression of sexuality written by Dr. Douglas Charles and Dr. Eric Cervini in recent years. So we actually know a lot more now than we did years ago. And there's no better format to do this than in these short Monday myths to start the week. You'll go to work or school or college or wherever, better armed to shoot down your lesser informed friends and colleagues, especially when they drag out this old saw during some bull session or whatever. First off, J. Edgar Hoover was one of the most famous and most significant people in modern American history, especially in the history of law enforcement and the growth of government as a security tool. He more or less founded the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the famous FBI, and ran it for decades. The historical gossip has always been that he was more powerful than the presidents he served, and that many of them were even afraid of Hoover's potential power to destroy a politician's career just by opening his secret files full of scandalous surveillance reports and all that. But the degree to which that gossip about his power was true is a topic for another episode. Secondly, the J. Edgar Hoover was a crossdresser story is one of those things that nearly everyone, and almost certainly every American, believes to be true. We seem to delight in the, quote, fact, end quote, that someone as power mad, as controlling, and as dedicated to strict American morality as he was could have had this sort of hypocritical side to him. Also, when I have heard this story, the teller sometimes takes on the tone that, I know something that's been covered up in American history, and I can share it with you. It feels good to know, again in quotations, that Hoover was a cross-dresser, that there was, quote, cocaine in Coca-Cola, end quote, and other innumerable urban legends we hear all the time. Finding out the validity of these stories is why I get the big money. And puzzling over why they are so easily embedded in our culture is what keeps the Buzzkill Institute dream alive. But let me take a quick break for a word from one of our new partners, Basic Health International. January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and the Buzzkill Institute is partnering with Basic Health International, BHI, to help eliminate cervical cancer worldwide. Cervical cancer is the leading cause of cancer deaths in low-resource countries and areas of the globe. More than 300,000 women die from this disease every year. Most of them live in countries where there are significant barriers to vaccination, to screening, and to treatment. BHI has the tools to end this tragedy and to empower women by prioritizing their access to healthcare. BHI's vision is a world where no woman dies of cervical cancer. You see, cervical cancer claims a woman's life every 2 minutes, yet it's entirely preventable. So why does it still exist? Because women around the world do not have equal access to three potentially life-saving interventions: vaccination, screening, and treatment. BHI provides training in low-cost screening and treatment methods for use in low-resource settings. They run cervical cancer research programs in El Salvador, China, Colombia, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Peru, and Paraguay, and are moving into other countries. As little as $10 provides life-saving screenings for one woman. So please, after you finish listening to this episode, go to basichealth.org/donate and join the fight against cervical cancer. You can also find the link in the blog post for this episode at professorbuzzkill.com. How many lives will you save today? Okay, welcome back. The allegation that J. Edgar Hoover was a cross-dresser apparently stems from a statement by D.C. socialite and society divorcee Susan Rosenthal, who told journalist and author Anthony Summers that she saw Hoover cross-dressed at various parties in the 1950s. She particularly mentioned a 1958 party at the Plaza Hotel in Manhattan, where Hoover appeared, quote, wearing a fluffy black dress, very fluffy, with flounces, and lace stockings and high heels, and a curly black wig. He had on makeup and false eyelashes. It was a very short skirt, and he was sitting there in the living room of the suite with his legs crossed. Roy, that is Roy Cohn of Army McCarthy fame, introduced him to me as Mary, and he replied, "Good evening," brusque, like the first time I'd met him. It was obvious that he wasn't a woman. You could see where he'd shaved. It was Hoover. You've never seen anything like it. I couldn't believe it that I should see the head of the FBI dressed as a woman," end quote. Well, the problem is that Rosenthal is the only source for these allegedly well-attended parties. And she's a very unreliable source, having perjured herself in a subsequent unrelated case in the 1970s, and having been herself the subject of FBI investigation because of her husband's bootlegging connections. Now, when serious historians want to determine if something is true, or more correctly, if something in the past actually happened, they gather as much original material about the event, statement, or the episode as possible. Deciding on the veracity of something in history is often difficult. But if enough good and reliable evidence from a variety of sources indicates that a specific thing happened, then, and really only then, can it reasonably be assumed to be correct. In fact, rather than saying that something happened or is true, most historians prefer to say there is good evidence for that. And there's no good evidence to support the idea of Hoover being a crossdresser. Now, Hoover, as you probably know, had plenty of enemies and rivals, even within the FBI itself, who would have loved to bring him down over what was considered a perverted act. If there had been any reliable evidence for the director of the FBI crossdressing, it would have spread like wildfire and created a scandal that even the all-powerful Hoover would have been unable to contain. So as titillating as it might be, that little gem gets the thumbs down from the Buzzkill Institute. The myth must die. What is valuable about the story, however, is that it can lead us to issues related to the FBI's investigations on Hoover's watch of all kinds of non-traditional lifestyles, including harassment of homosexuals and government service. Now, let me put in a Professor Buzzkill disclaimer here. I am not equating homosexuality with cross-dressing or passing judgment on any form of sexuality or self-expression. But during the Hoover era, many things, including homosexuality and cross-dressing, were considered deviant. Now, that's that generation's word, not mine, and I couldn't disagree with him more. The most famous and effective FBI investigation of homosexuals was the Lavender Scare, lasting from 1947 until the late 50s. This was a systematic attempt by the executive branch and the FBI to purge the civil service of homosexuals. This effort ran in parallel to anti-communist McCarthyism, but technically was a different movement. Many people, including Hoover, felt that homosexuals in the government, particularly in sensitive intelligence and military offices, were susceptible to blackmail by communist operatives and might reveal state and military secrets in order to protect their own deviant secret. Hoover therefore established a sexual deviant program by 1951 as part of his general effort, and the FBI ban on homosexuality and alternative lifestyles for agents remained in force until 1993, making it even more unlikely that Hoover himself would have indulged in any questionable practice that would have threatened his position within the Bureau. So, Buzzkillers, even though we've taken the fun out of the Hoover cross-dressing story, it turns out to be useful because we can bring up the broader topic such as the sexual deviant program, about which we'll have a show relatively soon this year. That's the upside of these historical myths. Busting them can show us more reliable ways of looking at the past. Now, before I go, I'd like to ask you to go to ProfessorBuzzkill.com and join the fun. Following the podcast, reading the website, and getting the newsletter are all free. On the website, you can also join Buzzkill Society for as little as $1 per month via Patreon. And naturally, you can find this wonderful show on all podcast platforms, especially Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and all the rest. And hey, please do us a favor. Rate the show and leave us a review on your favorite platform, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps gain more listeners. So sign up for our newsletter, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all that stuff. And hey, please email me suggestions about potential shows. Email me praise, email me complaints, anything you'd like. info@ProfessorBuzzkill.com, feedback@ProfessorBuzzkill.com, or even hate mail at ProfessorBuzzkill.com. Talk to you next time.